Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Hey Dark Hearts.
Oh, look
What's
at
up,
that.
Guys? We did it.
We did it. Yay. And we both said yay.
I know. That's how you know you we're...
Yeah. Like, you can't tell we're friends at all.
Yeah. No, I don't even know you.
No, not at all. Funny. I actually had a dream the other night that you decided you didn't want to do the podcast anymore.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. And I was so upset. And I was like, okay, well, I still want to do it. But I can't. I was like, maybe I can find like guest hosts each week or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Trust me, that's not going to happen ever. I would actually like this to be my job. So if anything, yeah. I mean, I guess I still have a job, so I won't say anything. Because, you know, but like you, anyone wants to do a job that they're like super passionate about and it's like their thing. So yeah, I don't think that's sharing too much information that I want this to be my job someday. So.
Right. No, not at all. So yeah, but that was a fun little dream. I was like, what the hell? Why would you do this to me?
I would never do that to you, Cassie. Ride or die. Oh gosh. Well, on that note, it's October officially now, and so
yes.
It's like really spooky season, for real.
For realsies now. But also with October, we did want to mention October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So we will be posting, you know, on our socials and in the show notes, like, links for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. But real quick, I just want to give those numbers. It's 1-800-799-7233, or you can text START, START, to 88788, and then the website is www.thehotline.org. And again, all of that's going to be in our show notes. We're going to post those on our socials. Obviously, with the type of podcast we do, this is something we really want to spread awareness. We want safety for everyone. You know, domestic violence doesn't just affect, you know, women. It is men too, and children. And so we just, you know, we want to make sure that if any of our listeners are going through something or they know someone going through something, that you guys have the resources you need in that instance. And, you know, hopefully you can stay safe, know that you're not alone. These people are here to help you. So we just really wanted to point that out. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Sorry. Another cool thing that kind of goes along with that, I don't know exactly how to use it. And so I probably shouldn't have brought it up since I don't know. But I do know that the new software on iPhones, there is a feature on there where you can alert someone if you're in a situation. I just downloaded it. It's like the newest one where you can change like your wallpapers and stuff to make them like formatted, where you can add widgets onto your lock screen
stuff. Yeah.
And
iOS 16.
Yeah. 16. There it is. By now I'm surprised it's not like iOS 952, but, and I haven't read a whole lot about it, but I did see that there is something in there. So if that you are a person that maybe needs to utilize that feature, I highly recommend maybe looking into that. And I think that's super cool that Apple added something like that. So
that is cool. I didn't realize that was one of the features.
Yeah. So I just kind of briefly read through all the different things it did. And I was like, oh, that's actually really cool. But like I said, I don't know the details on that, but it is there. So, okay.
Wonderful.
That's it for
my
thing. That's all I know.
One other thing, and we're going to talk about this more at the end, but we do now have a Patreon. It is live. That will also be linked in the show notes. And with us doing that, we have some more information at the end of the show that we want to talk about, maybe a little giveaway. So stick around. But otherwise, Shannon, it's all you this week. Where are we going?
So this week, I was kind of struggling with what I wanted to do because I was like, okay, it's October. It's Halloween. I want to have like a Halloween theme month. And since our last two weeks of the month are already spoken for, that gave me 1 week to do something Halloweenish. And so as I started Googling and looking up different cases, I literally was just like looking for things that happened on Halloween. I don't know if this is unfortunate or fortunate, but there's not a ton of Heartland Halloween crimes specifically, which is probably good, but in my case, it was bad because I needed more to work off of. But And I know one of the main ones we had already talked about, I talked about Chelsea Brooks' case in, is that Michigan? Why can't all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank? It was Michigan?
I think it was Michigan.
I think it was as well. And so that's why I'm like, wait, but that one kept popping up, but I had to do that one earlier. So this week, some of the cases I found, I was intrigued by several of them, but they did not offer a ton of information. So I decided I'm just going to share three separate stories. They're all crimes that took place on Halloween or days within Halloween, because we all know Halloween you can celebrate all month long or year long, I guess, depending 100%. On who you are. So, yeah. And so I thought, well, we'll just kind of go that route this time because that's kind of fun. And I figured these were never like not cases that we would probably do as standalone cases anyway down the road. So it wasn't taking away from that. But so, yeah, you know, we're just going to get going on that. And I think what's creepier than a homicide on Halloween, or I guess a crime in general on Halloween? It just adds extra scariness.
Yeah.
Okay, so first, we're going to go to Chicago, Illinois. Not a small town by any means, but we all know Chicago. Still part of the heartland. So we are going back to 2011. So this case was really crazy to me. I had to keep reading it like, wait, did this happen? And this one actually is a domestic violence situation as well. So it does kind of relate to the whole fact that bringing awareness to that this month. So this case, Liddell Peoples is the man's name. He was 55. He was at home one evening just enjoying his Halloween candy. So right there, I'm going to say, was he trick-or-treating at 55 years old? Was this his kids' candy? Was it candy he was handing out? Hard to say, but if you're out there trick-or-treating at 55 years of age, cool bro, you do you. I'm not judging.
I mean, I love me some Halloween candy.
Yes, amen to that. So he clearly does too, Cassie. He loves it. So as he's eating it, he realizes that some of it is missing. So he immediately blames his girlfriend. She was 49-year-old Maria Adams. So an argument takes place. It gets pretty heated, and Maria allegedly throws a plate at Liddell's head. So this gashes his head open, like above his eye, and in return just, you know, really pisses him off. So he gets so pissed, he grabs a steak knife and proceeds to stab her several times.
Jesus.
Okay, now real talk. Was it a Reese's pumpkin that she took? Because I would cut a bitch over that, okay?
Listen, that's going to be on sale the very next day. They'll be 50% off.
Oh, yes. I was like, I get it. I get it, Liddell, if it's coming down to, like, Reese's. But still, I mean, I'm just kidding. Like, I wouldn't really, you know, I hope people are aware of that. I mean, but I don't mess
that's
around.
That's a bit extreme over some Halloween candy that as an adult you can go and buy more of.
Correct. So he loses his shit, clearly. So he stabs her several times, but he does call the police to inform them that he attacked her. So police and paramedics arrive. They said that Maria was face down in a pool of blood and unresponsive. They rushed her to the hospital, still in critical condition, and unfortunately, she ended up dying 4 days later. Jeez. So it was later determined she had over 20 stab wounds, and they were consistent with being stabbed by someone who held a knife in each hand.
Jesus.
So he grabbed two knives and just went at it. She also had suffered blunt force trauma to her head and had hematomas under her scalp that were consistent with her head being stomped on or slammed on the floor.
Okay, that's
anger issues.
Major anger issues.
Yes. They did also say that she had defensive wounds on the top of her hands and fingers, so they think that she had her hands up and was trying to protect herself.
Sure.
Right. So Liddell, he gets evaluated and they do find him to be suffering from schizoaffective disorder.
Okay.
Paranoid schizophrenia, cognitive disorder, and Oh, yeah, I clearly have a typo in here because it says canine abuse. Okay, not canine abuse, guys. I don't know what I was trying to say there, but and some sort of abuse was found, you know, he's been abused. So,
cannabis? But they,
I don't know. Can you I don't, really that doesn't abuse sound cannabis, familiar, though, but like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, right. Okay. I don't know though. Maybe.
I was just trying to think of what would be close to canine.
I know. Dang it. I should have proofread this before. it's fine, guys. He just was abused or did some sort of abuse with something. But with all that said and done, he was found fit to stand trial with medication. So he was found guilty of first degree murder and he was sentenced to 30 years in prison. That's it.
That's it? For first degree?
Correct. I get it. He's 55, so he'd be like 85. I mean, it's essentially but he'll get life. Out. Yeah. But I mean, even if he got out early for whatever reason, and he went through all these different appeals trying to say that his sentence was way too harsh. Like, are you kidding me?
That's not harsh enough.
I know.
See, and that makes me wonder, like, that can't have been the first sign of that. That can't be have been the first time he had lost it.
Snapped. Yeah.
On her or someone else. And it makes you wonder, like, I'm not blaming the victim. I'm not saying it was her fault for not noticing this. Like,
yeah,
who, like, within his family and friends unit, like, did they just ignore some of these signs?
I don't know. That's very interesting too. I read a couple different places, like it was his girlfriend, but then I read it was like, you know, his live-in girlfriend, but I also read she was a prostitute that he often hung out with. So I don't know the exact relationship there. Not that that mm-hmm. matters or should change how he treats right. her, but yeah, it sounds like he has just clearly anger issues. And yeah. I mean, if she threw a plate at him too, like, I mean, who knows though?
But at what point was her throwing the plate a defense? You know what right. I mean?
Like, because they said that she did it first, but yeah, it's only his word. Nobody else was there. Right. So mm-hmm. yeah. Very insane. Like a murder over candy. Okay. People, if you need candy that bad, I will bring you some. I mean, I probably won't. I might need it, but
I mean, maybe let's look at our sugar addiction yeah, to that that's as
a
well.
Yeah. A bit alarming. And so that was my first case. I mean, I don't want to say that it's less crazy than the other ones because that's, mm-hmm. I mean, somebody still died and that's a terrible thing. But it was like, what? Are you kidding me? One of those cases.
Yeah.
Not enough information, like I said, for a full thing, but that's just one that should be acknowledged because that's insane.
It definitely should be. A poor woman lost her life over Halloween candy. And there's yeah. never really a good reason for someone to lose their life, but that...
Right. That. Over something that ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like he clearly didn't get the mental health he needed either. Once again, I think a lot of it stems back to that in several cases yeah. that things are not getting... Right. Taken care of the way they should. I found a lot of my information for that one on illinoiscourts.gov. So there's tons of different information on there about different cases, of course. But if you were interested in more of the appeal process and all the defense things he tried to use, basically his defense during the trial was she stole my candy. So
that's not a defense for correct. Murder.
No, no. It was
not
like
she was trying to kill you over your candy.
Right, right. So that's our short story number one. So that's okay. in Chicago. So this next one is a little bit, a lot more that goes kind of into this one. This one could potentially be domestic violence. I'm not exactly sure based on some of the information, but you can kind of determine that yourself, I suppose. So this case now is going to be in Ohio, and the name of the town is, oh goodness, I should have looked this up. Is it Chillicothe? Chillicothe? It's spelled chill, so Chillicothe.
Nope, lost it. I have no idea.
Chillicothe? I don't know. Chillicothe, guys, I don't know. I feel like I had it in my head when I was researching it, but I didn't watch any documentaries on these cases to like hear it. So
yeah.
Anyway, we're in Ohio. It's a small enough town. I think you can gather from that. So this case actually happens a couple weeks prior to Halloween. But because of the nature of this crime, it definitely falls into that Halloween category. So on October 13th of 2015, a woman was outside and she spotted a very lifelike Halloween prop or decoration. Yep, you see where this is going. So yep, she
I'm already shaking my head.
Yeah, exactly. So she thought it was a zombie prop. She didn't think too much of it because everybody had decorations out. And so it's easy to kind of look the other way, right? So, however, I don't know. It apparently didn't. I don't know if it gave her, like, it said she didn't think too much about it, but then it said that she called the police. So it's like, you obviously thought about it enough to call the police. I'm not sure about the miscommunication there. So where things got crossed. Either way, police got called. Someone else did, not sure. They arrive and they confirm quickly that this is indeed not a Halloween zombie prop, but actually a real body. So the body was identified as 31-year-old Rebecca Cade. Rebecca had suffered from repeated blunt force trauma to both her head and neck. Her body had been left hung up on a fence with her left hand positioned up, so it appeared as if she were waving. Yeah. So about a month later, police make an arrest. So they had received a tip about a man, Coconauer Jr. So Donnie, he's 26 years old, and the person that called in said that this Donnie might have some information about the murder. So without going into massive detail about the whole investigation, since I'm just kind of giving you the little mini version of it, investigators were able to come to the conclusion that the night of Rebecca's murder, she had been to a bonfire with several friends. And at some point during the night, she ended up out in a field arguing with Donnie. So I don't know the relation there, if that was their boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't know. Don't know. She left. She walks off and he starts chasing her. Rebecca tried to jump a fence and that's when she got caught. So he was able to catch up with her at this point and he began beating her with a large rock. So she lost consciousness and he left her just as he left, and she was on the fence, still stuck on the fence. And he just went to his sister's house. So he goes to his sister's house and he's covered in mud and blood. He cleaned up there, and his sister even helped him throw his soiled clothes into a garbage can next door. They cleaned up the bathroom and she drives him to a friend's house. She also said that he had told her that he had gotten in a fight with Rebecca and he thought he maybe killed her. Okay, so now it is also revealed to, after the investigation and the autopsy, she had died from injuries to her head and face. So like we said before, she was beaten with a rock. She had multiple cuts to her face and head, including a knife wound from the top of her head into her face. This distorted her face significantly that they could not identify her immediately. Yes. Very just gruesome. This is confusing to me too. It says her back had also been burned through three layers of clothing. She had on like a hoodie, a t-shirt, and an undershirt. They aren't sure if this was inflicted shortly before or after her death. Her nose was broken. She had bruises to her hands, jaw, and chin, and had spinal and brain injuries. This is insane. This part blew my mind. So they said that she fought back so hard and with so much force, she tore her bicep muscles in both arms, leaving one severed entirely and the other partially severed.
That's like, we've talked about that before in like the I Survived stories. Yes. And said there are times like we don't use our full muscle strength because if we did, it would tear them from our body.
Yeah. How insane is that? And I'm like, okay, what led this dude to be so pissed? I mean, clearly he's sociopath, psychopath, whatever. If you can just leave too and go clean up and just, I'm going to my friends. Like,
And your sister? I'm sorry. I hope she got charged with accessory.
Oh, she does.
Okay.
We'll talk about her too, because she does. And I just think, like, how sickening too. Like, what a horrible way to die. So after Donnie, you know, gets talked to and all that, he admits to the police that he had consensual sex with her the night that she died. He said that they then argued and that Rebecca bit him. So he hit her and they parted ways. Okay, I'm sorry. What kind of fight do you just, well, biting? That's bizarre. If that's like, whatever, unless he was holding her down or something.
Right.
So it's like, that alone is bizarre. But then you hit her and then you just walk off. Like, I really doubt that's how that went too. So he said they just parted ways. So then when they're at trial too, the prosecution said there was enough evidence to show that he clearly had attacked her. And they had his discarded clothing with blood that matched Rebecca's blood, as well as the statement that he had made to his sister. Because the sister did end up telling police what he had said eventually. She didn't speak up right away on that, though. So the defense said, though, that there was no denying that they were linked together because they had slept together. So, of course, and they were at the same bonfire. So of course, there's going to be that.
Would be on him?
Right. Because he just bleeds for no reason. So,
right.
The defense, too, said that there were several drunk people at this bonfire and that anyone could have been pissed enough to follow her and do it. I'm like, right. But once again, that amount of blood on him, there's no way.
He's already said he hit her. The likelihood of him hitting her and then her being beaten to death by someone else randomly that night.
Right.
Not that it's out of the realm of possibility, but it's highly unlikely.
Very much so. And I mean, I didn't, like I said, I could have, I mean, this one we probably could have had a whole episode on, but I didn't read enough of the details to see if she had been sexually assaulted. Like, I'm assuming she had, if they, that's the story he was going with to say,
yeah,
that they obviously had enough DNA there.
When she probably bit him.
Right. That's my thought too. Cause I was like, that's, when else are you going to bite someone? Well, when someone, you can't use your arms,
yeah,
or anything else. And yeah, it just said how if she would have got over that fence, it would have been a different story. But like the side of her shirt got caught on it. So I just thought that was sickening. So then that's the defense's story. This part, it gets a little bit insane to me. You won't believe this, but here we go. So at the end of the trial, the jury deliberated over 2 days. They were deadlocked and the judge told them, you need to come to a conclusion. So they go back, they deliberate more. They come back with a verdict of not guilty.
I'm sorry, what?
Correct. They said they had reasonable doubt to his guilt and they felt that others at the party also had the motive and opportunity to kill Rebecca. So Donnie's a free man.
Are you kidding around. Me?
No, I had to look at that like 3 or 4 different times because I could not believe what I was reading.
How is that possible? He hid his clothes that were covered in his blood.
There's some sort of charge, hiding evidence. So, I mean, I don't understand. There's no way you just get off scot-free, right?
That's ridiculous. I cannot. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. What the hell is wrong with people?
I know.
Why being a juror should be a profession and not just some Joe Blow off the street. What
you know,
the
and
fuck?
That's like what's scary to me too, is that the defense literally, they just have to give you that tiny little bit of doubt for to not.
I don't even understand how you're like, yeah, there were other people. Maybe it was one of them, even though he was covered in her blood and admitted to hitting her.
And I'm gonna guess he was probably covered in wounds from her fighting back with him. I didn't find any information on that because I didn't read like a very super in-depth thing.
Well, and depending on how long it had been since when they interview him, he could have been healed and it would be a matter of like just hearsay of other people being like, yeah, he had all these marks on him.
Yeah.
But
and
still,
I mean, it didn't say like exact time of death. So like, I'm not sure if she had been there for a couple days. I don't know what day it was that they actually, maybe it was like a couple days because wasn't it, this takes place. Let me see if I had 2 dates on here. Oh, nope. That was the other one. Okay. So the let's see, the woman found her on October 13th. So I guess I don't know when the bonfire was. So yeah. I'm guessing she probably wasn't there for days without someone recognizing a body.
Yeah.
But yeah, then down here when they actually arrest him, it was a month later. So that is enough time that wounds could have easily healed yeah. or in all DNA be gone. So yeah, and it's even more alarming because his family had previously spoken about their concern for his mental health. Or health. I said that a weird way.
Jesus.
So
did
yeah.
they check like when? Okay. So what year did this happen?
2015. Yes. 2015.
Okay. So there's DNA. So like, I wonder if they scraped under her nails and stuff and would have gotten that.
I know.
Like,
I really was, after I had started doing this one, I was like, oh man, I could have done a whole case on this one, but then I had these other ones I wanted to do. But this one, I think, yeah, it would be super interesting to go back and just read more on, because there has to be more to it or lack of stuff for them to not. I mean, I know they had his clothes, but it never really said if who it was that led them to that or if they just found it. Because if it had been that long and it was discarded in trash, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That I just can't fathom how they came to the conclusion of being.
I know. Isn't that just sick? I mean, think about her wow. poor family too.
Yeah.
Knowing he's just on the streets and the fact that his family even had mentioned that he needed to get help.
If he's done that once, he's clearly capable of doing it again.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, where did I put, or I hope I put that in there. His sister did get charged with, helping conceal the crime. I can't find where I put that in here now. I don't know. She wasn't sentenced to very long. I think it was like a couple years. So
see, but how does his sister get sentenced too. And found guilty for that
right.
if he was found innocent? Because at that point, if he wasn't part of it, then she's no longer concealing a crime.
That's so true. And I don't understand that either. I'm like, I realize they can't try him again for the same thing, but couldn't they try him yeah. for other things? You know what I mean? Like, there should be some sort of justice there. I mean, my heart goes out to Rebecca's family. What a horrible thing. I hope
well,
that
I just
Donnie
worry
is
about
actually
any
getting some kind of mental health.
Like, let's help. Hope, because I worry about any future partners of his. Like,
I know. Well, and that's why I'm like, it could be a domestic violence in this. I mean, I don't know their relationship, but either way, I mean, clearly if they were sleeping together, I still classify that.
Or if she said no to sleep
right.
to him, that
oh yeah
he's clearly got issues with rejection and all that. Man has so many yeah. issues and should not be a free
and
man.
He just
ridiculous.
Looks creepy. When I post pictures of him, you'll be like, oh ew. Like he's a creep. I would be scared if I saw him on the streets though too, and like for good reason. And I just think, like, what a vicious, gruesome
yes.
way to kill a person. Like, yep, I think you got her. Like, you're good. But then the burning thing is bizarre. He clearly had a knife, but
yeah.
he had a big rock. I don't, it's just
see,
sick.
That's crazy. And I think I remember hearing about, I don't think I ever went down the rabbit hole and like read the actual story. Maybe it was around the time when it first came out. I remember mm-hmm. the thing of someone finding a body that they had originally thought was like a Halloween decoration. And I mean,
yes.
not to say that it maybe didn't happen somewhere else too.
Well,
but
interestingly enough, one of the other cases that's very similar, which I would have covered, but it's not a Heartland state, in Delaware, I want to say like 2011, a woman had actually hung herself out in her front yard, but she had several like decorations out. And I mean, I think hours went by before people realized that it was actually a person. Because that case, when I first read that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sad. And I mean, so many things I could say about that, and just so sad. And so then I saw this one shortly after that, and I was like, well, this is a similar thing. And once again, I'm sure that there's other cases like that too. We just don't know. But very dark and very sad. And please check if you think you see a Halloween decoration that doesn't look,
if it looks too realistic, like maybe we just be safe.
You know, I go all out for Halloween here, and my house inside is definitely decked out. And this year I always add like a little every year. So I have some really fun stuff outside. I have, by the way, anyone, this should be like a plug for Target, but they have these awesome lights that like stakes that you stick in the ground. And there's three skeleton hands. One's doing the rock sign, you know, one's doing a peace sign, and one's just doing a thumbs up, but they light up. It was only like $15. So there you go.
Yeah.
I have those. But then this year I invested in like a full size skeleton. So I have it sitting outside waving like on my porch, and my daughter thinks it's like the best thing ever. And I'm like, this is like fun. I wouldn't do this like super creepy stuff, but I mean, I've had a lot of fun with the skeleton. Yeah. So
I want the inflatable like dragons and stuff you can get. My husband doesn't agree. I would love to go all out like that. We also don't have good plugins for our yard.
Yeah. I'm probably, my electric bill's going to be like, cha-ching. I just think about Christmas Vacation when he plugs in the lights and the whole thing is just spinning.
Yeah.
Because it's like a lot, but it's like, I don't know, it's fun. And I love Halloween, so I don't care. And I just keep adding to it. And I'm like, okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But mine are not real bones. Okay?
No.
That's it. But it is fun to like, I've taken several pictures of it. Like when I had it in my trunk, you know, they brought it to me at Target in the drive up and it was in there. And I was like, well, that's not something you see every day. And the lady was laughing. I'm like, okay, well now I have to hide this somewhere, you know, just all the jokes. It's not really funny, but like when you like Halloween, it sure is. So maybe give it a shot of looking at it or calling someone if it looks scary.
Yeah, you know, if you are like questioning whether or not that is a real thing, maybe call the non-emergency line and be like, hey, I know that's this has so happened before. So they can just check it out. And worst case scenario, someone's got some bomb ass, you know, Halloween decorations. Worst case scenario, you saw a dead body and someone has been murdered. So,
and you could help solve a crime. So
you could. You could do your justice
good
for that
Samaritan
poor
deed. Yeah. So, I mean, I did read recently too. This one has been kind of in the news. I don't know if you have seen this or anyone else listening, and I don't remember the state. It's an M state. So it's either, you know, Minnesota, Michigan, Missouri. That there was a house that I think it was like a few years back. Someone who lived there killed his spouse and kids in the house. So they've been gone and someone else lives in that house. And this year they decorated it and they put like bloody handprints on the outside and it said help us, and it was kid prints, and it was like on the news, and people were so disturbed and upset about this because that crime had happened there that the person took it down. I thought, well, you think, like, have a heart. That's just senseless and disgusting. But that was this year, so you should go look that up, Cassie. I was actually gonna send you that article recently because I was like, seriously, like, who does that?
First of all, I don't think I could live in a house that people had been murdered in.
No.
But then where in your head are you like, oh, this would be a great thing to do? No.
No. And especially like something that sad too, that involve, I mean, it's sad regardless when someone gets killed, but like with children and stuff, like, come on. Yeah.
No, that's not okay. That's not okay at all.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. And so there's a lot of that stuff, unfortunately, I think that's happening. And now I'm just going to, later I'll send you that. I was going to look it up while I was talking and I can't multitask. So we're just going to not do that.
You go ahead and you tell the story.
Yeah. So I'm going through them faster than I thought I was. I told Cassie like, hey, I have three stories I'm sharing. So I don't want to be, you know, spend too much time on each of them, but it's actually going pretty good. So
hey, Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind, whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light, Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with two emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your two emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95 and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that Birdie with you to make sure you stay safe.
So this is the last story I'm going to share today. So this is possibly like the darkest one. I know that last one was pretty bad. And ironically enough, we're not going very far from where we were because this is still in Ohio. And I guess this town is not that far from Chillicothe or whatever.
Okay.
This time we're in Martin, Ohio. And so I wanted to find a different state, but this one was like, well, I guess Ohio, just get it together, Ohio. But this, of course, takes place on October 31st. The year is 2010. Devin Griffin was a 16-year-old boy. So he came home after church one Sunday morning. Backstory, I guess, on this too. His parents were divorced. So his mom had remarried. They had a home, but he had been with his biological father that weekend. So he had gone to church with his dad and then returned home to his mom's home. After they had gone to church, because this was a Sunday, and he just wanted to go play video games. So he gets home mid-morning. He goes up to his room and they said he played video games for a few hours. And we all know that time can fly when you're playing video games, and how guys, but you can get glued to it, you know?
Oh, I have lost 8 hours of a day playing a video game.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Give me some Mario Kart, okay? No, I remember back in the day, I remember when we had days out of school, my brother and I would play video games like all day long. We would only stop to get snacks, and it was like the best life ever, you know?
I love RPGs, so like Dragon Age is one of my favorites, which is, for not nerd people, role-playing games. So you have a storyline, and in Dragon Age, you can actually change the story based on your decisions, based on who you befriend, who you make an enemy, who you make a lover. You can romance people in this thing, okay?
Oh, dang.
And you have like your main quests, you have your side quests. So it's really easy to get lost in that. Because for me, I'm like, it's like an interactive book that I can see. You know what I mean?
So, I wish, I would play video games nowadays if I had like a, what's it called? You know, any system, but I don't. And that's a good thing because I would be addicted. I mean, I'm thinking like way back to the Nintendo 64 days, the James Bond, GoldenEye. Anyone remember when you could split the screen for the first time and have like four players? We thought we were like badass at our house because we had that. Well, my brother had that, but I got to play it. So
sounds to me like you need a Nintendo Switch.
I actually would love one. And I was looking at prices and I'm like, no, I don't need one. Nope.
They're actually totally worth it. I bought myself.
Do you have one? Like, you have one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I bought it. I used Christmas money a few years ago. And
okay,
worth it. I need a second one because my son keeps fighting over who gets to play it. One of the first games I bought was Mario Kart 8, yes, so we could all play together, and yes, Smash Brothers.
That's amazing. Those are just classics that you will love no matter what, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is like some of those old games now you can download onto it, yes, and stuff. Like I've downloaded the old Sonic games for him stuff like that. So
do you remember Zelda? And Zelda's I know made like a comeback too. But
oh, Zelda's still like very much
old
a thing.
School,
but yes.
Zelda.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, so, man. All the things.
Maybe that's what you should ask for from your family for Christmas.
You know, I used to be, well, not used to be, but back when the Nintendo Wii came out, just side note for everyone, an ex-boyfriend of mine actually at the time, we camped out overnight at the Toys R Us. It was freezing ass outside and we camped out to get them. And I had no intention of keeping mine. I sold mine on eBay for like triple the price. He kept his, I think. But then funny story, like my parents have one and I was telling my daughter about it and I was like, maybe they'll give us their Wii. And she was like, what is that? That's weird. And she didn't even know what it was. And I was like, that wasn't that long ago. But I guess I was like 2008-ish, maybe seven. But it's just so funny how quickly things change and how there's new gaming systems all the time. And they're so realistic. Sorry, that was a weird
tangent we went down.
Yeah. Tell us your favorite video games. What do you guys play? Share with us.
When you rate and review, like, just tell us what video games you like. What was your old school video game?
Tell me if I should actually buy a Nintendo Switch or how that should go. If I should put
you
that
should,
on my Christmas
100%.
List.
100%. I'm already telling you.
I might
you
need
should.
To go fund me on that guy because, I mean, they range in prices, I saw. We'll just talk about that later, Cassie.
We'll talk about
and
that
see
later.
What you have.
Yeah, we can discuss
okay.
it.
So, guys, Devin, right? Like everybody else here, clearly like to play video games. So he's in his room playing, not caring. I mean, 16-year-old boys don't usually go run and just want to chat with their mom about their weekend, I don't think. So he's playing the games and around 1:30 that afternoon, he was kind of noticed it was very quiet at his house. And he was like, that's kind of weird. So he had, a brother, 23 or 24 year old brother. And then his mom, was remarried to this man, Bill, and he had a son from a previous marriage as well. So that son was not there, but the boys stayed there a lot. So it's real quiet that afternoon. Okay. So he goes to check on his family because he's like, what the hell's going on? Are they home? Are they not home? Mm-hmm. This one's pretty twisted. This one probably could have been its own case too, but we're just going to do the Cliff Notes version because some of this is just like so icky to talk about. But so he goes into his mom and stepfather's room. He can see they're in their bed, but they're like under their comforter, this big maroon comforter. So he starts talking to his mom. And as he's talking to her, he walks around the bed to her side and her leg was kind of hanging out of the sheet. So he taps her leg. And he pulls down the comforter a little bit and tries to wake her up. And that's when he sees a blood-soaked pillow. So this is sick because at first he thought that they were playing a Halloween prank on him because it was Halloween and he was gone. Puppy. And I know. And I was like, that is awful. People don't ever play Halloween pranks, especially something like this. You know, I mean,
please
it's not
don't.
A prank.
That's horrendous.
But yeah. It's awful to scare someone like that. So he is just like, you know, okay, haha, jokes up, nothing. And he soon realizes that this is very real. This gruesome scene is not a prank. He freaks the F out, runs outside, calls his aunt, who then calls the police. They arrive at the house. He hadn't gone back in because he was just so shaken up, which like finding something that gruesome and it's your mom and you've been sitting in your house for how many hours? How long have they been dead or she, I guess. But the police go inside and they actually find two other bodies. So they find, of course, his stepfather, Bill, and his brother. So Devin is so traumatized. He couldn't even talk. He could only say that the scene was like something out of a haunted house. So it was pieced together fairly quickly that the killer was Devin's stepbrother, 24-year-old William Liskey Jr. So dad was William Liskey Sr., clearly, but he went by Bill. So kind of a little background on William here. He did have a history of schizophrenia and aggression. He had a very lengthy record from the past. Back when he was 16 years old, he was on house arrest. When he was on house arrest, at one point he threatened to harm himself. So his dad had to call the cops. The cops show up. He ends up attacking the cops. Like, just a lot of anger there. He also did not like that his dad had gotten remarried to Susan. He did not like Susan. He had threatened Susan several times before, and at one point he actually hit her. Another time he attacked her while she was in the shower. And a few months after that, he actually had stolen her keys, stole her car, and got arrested for grand theft auto. So
why was he still allowed in their house?
There's a little more on that. So he, because of all these things, so he had been in and out of mental health treatment facilities for years, multiple times, but every time he came out, nothing seemed to help. So at a certain age, I'm not sure when, but his dad was like, you can't stay here. You can't live here. And he was actually staying in a halfway house when this all happened. And oddly enough, it said that, the night before, or like two nights before, I guess it would have been Halloween, Bill had taken his son, William. He even took him like fishing, and they went out and they were bonding and they had a really good time together. And he, they had had some beers and whatnot. And William was a bit intoxicated, I guess, and was like not in any condition to drive. So Bill was even like, okay, I'll let you stay here just tonight. So he slept on the couch that night. And then even eerier, they find out later, Devin, the little, not the little boy, but the brother, he had been out with his father, you know, previously. So he came home actually on Sunday morning early just to get clothes for church. And then he left again. He did have an encounter with William because William was there. And he said William was acting really weird. And he asked how long he was going to be gone. And he was like, I don't know, I'm going to church and lunch or whatever with my dad. So he leaves. So police now were like, they might have been dead at that point already when Devin was there. So they don't know exactly when he did this. So he just had a very rough background. And it sucks that he had even been to mental health facilities and still didn't get the help he needed. It sounds like they were, I mean, doing the right things as far as trying to get him help and being in a halfway house. So I think in some cases you can just, I mean, clearly snap.
And 100%. I still, I don't know. I'm not trying to judge a dead man and it's your child. And I'm not trying to like victim blame or anything, but at the same time, it's like, you know, he's attacked your wife on multiple occasions. You know, he has a mental health issues like schizophrenic, and you think drinking with him is safe and a good idea?
Also correct.
And to then like, bring an inebriated him back home, why couldn't you have just driven him to the halfway house and been like, I'll pick you up tomorrow and we'll get your car?
Like, I know. I agree. I think in his wife, Susan, I'd be like, hell no, I am terrified of him.
Yeah.
I mean, so many things he's done and like clearly just like upset for whatever reason, but they have been married for like a while now too. So it's not like it was a new thing where he was just upset. Like, very bizarre. And he did not like his stepbrothers at all. He made that very known. So, okay. So that's the background on him. And clearly just, we don't know exactly what it was that made him snap, but the fact that everybody was in bed when they were killed makes you think that it was during the night still or early morning. And that they were not expecting it. So like, to me, I don't foresee that they had this heated fight and then he did it, you know, unless they had an argument like the night before and then everyone went to bed, which if that was the case, no, why would he still be there though? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't they kick him out?
So many questions, but it definitely seems like either way he waited until they were vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that it was Halloween is eerie too, because he does later on, you know, he says he blames Satan and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, No, like, I mean, clearly there's some evil entity there, you know, but like, no. So, let me find where I was. Sorry. Okay. So later, you know, they find all the bodies and they do autopsies. So it was determined that William had actually killed his stepbrother first. Derek Griffin was his name. He was 23 years old, and it was conclusive that he was killed with a hammer.
Oh,
he was
God.
Bludgeoned to death. And they said that based on that, I mean, he was hit several times, but they think the first blow killed him, which I thought, thank God for that. Who wants to be alive for that?
I wondered if it killed him with the first blow or knocked him unconscious. Like, I know he was already unconscious, but you know, if you get hit hard enough, like then you'll won't wake up from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So either way, it sounds like hopefully he had no idea what was
coming. Was just sound asleep. And his body was actually found, you know, like I said, in bed, curled up facing a wall. And there's blood all over the wall. A bloody hammer was found nearby in his room. So that's how he killed him. But then he went a different way here with his father. So William, his father, was only 53 years old. He shot him 5 times while he was asleep in bed. Then it said that he shot Susan. Susan was 46 years old at the time. And it said that he also had sexually assaulted her. They were not quite sure if that was before or after he killed her. So not cool either way. But they said that both of them were shot at very close range. So like I said to you, their bodies were covered up with that maroon comforter, and their heads were resting on their pillows and they were just soaked in blood. So they said, you know, it's like he was kind of trying to cover it up. Like he had that guilt. But then,
well, and they say a lot of times too, when someone murders someone they know, a lot of times they'll try to cover them to hide what they've done.
Exactly. So it's like there's that sort of guilt, but like wanting to hide it. And I don't know. But they did say too that some of the evidence could have shown that Susan actually was awake, I mean, and trying to flee based on the position of her, because they said it did look like her body had been moved after she was killed. So they don't know exactly what happened, but clearly there was blood, a lot of blood, but not in the main areas of the house, which is kind of surprising, because otherwise Devin, the younger brother that came home and found them, like you think he would have noticed that, but
right.
I mean, if all their doors were like shut and I don't know. So it's like, did he clean up there? Did he change his clothes? Because like you would think he'd leave some sort of bloody trail, which maybe he did, and a 16-year-old boy isn't paying attention to that too. So, so he pled guilty and he to 3 counts of aggravated murder because he wanted to avoid the death penalty. But before he was sentenced, this was in September of 2011, he apologized for killing his father, stepmother, and stepbrother. So he blamed all of that on his mental illness and Satan. So like I said, he had pled, you know, to avoid the death penalty. However, in 2015, he was actually found dead in his jail cell from a self-inflicted wound.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was a pretty sad turn. They lost everybody. And that poor Devin, I just think like, oh my gosh.
That poor boy, I hope he got all the therapy, is still in therapy, because
I know.
To then realize that you were there, you were probably there at, they'd already been murdered, their murderer was still there, you were then hanging out. Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
I know. Yeah, I had read somewhere that there were like, he had written some like satanic symbols and stuff, but I only read that one place and I tried looking it up several other avenues to confirm that and I couldn't find it again. So may or may not, but
I mean, it's probably one of those like local legend, you know, like
totally. Yeah. And I know there are other podcasts on this because I saw that when I was researching. I did not listen to any of them, but so those were all my Halloween stories, all very eerie and creepy. And the fact that they happen on Halloween. And so I'm like, yeah, that's an easy way to, not easy, but I guess, I mean, get away with something like that because it all blends in. Like, he thought it was a prank. She thought it was a decoration. You know, it's like, okay, it's very bizarre. And there were other cases, you know, of people being found still in their costumes that were dead and stuff like that too, around the country in general, where it made it hard to know things. And when you're in a costume, it's probably easy to do something and not have anyone notice. So very eerie. I'm glad that there weren't a ton more actual cases. I was kind of surprised, but there were some other big ones. Also, and I know Cassie has one next week. So
I do. But it's just a, you know, a good reminder too, like, stay safe, not just on Halloween, but, you know, every day, but, you know, especially on Halloween when people are dressed up and like, you can't see their faces and it's more acceptable for people to have masks covering their faces. Like, just be aware of your surroundings. Don't go out alone. Like, have someone with you, maybe a birdie, like, stay safe, you guys. Like, Halloween is great and it's fun and it's joyous. But
yeah,
I mean, unfortunately,
there can be a lot of darkness still, you know, and
which is just like, it's like every other day of the year, there's still darkness in people's hearts and people are going to do horrible things. Unfortunately,
there's scum. Yeah. And everywhere in the world, unfortunately, you know, but
yeah,
I think, it's just a reminder too. And especially with like tons of Halloween parties. Like, I remember back in college, especially going to different Halloween parties and like, you know, you're meeting all these different people. You're generally drinking. I mean, and it is easy to just be trusting, more trusting when you're drinking. And I think
just have a buddy system.
It's not like, I don't think it's the first time anyone's ever hearing this, but you know, it's like, this day and age, like, you just can't be too careful.
Well, and I think it's one thing like to know like, okay, yeah, I should do these things. But I think there's this inherent part of all of us that are like, well, it won't happen to me. That stuff happens to other people. Like, just have a plan, make plans while you're sober with your friends about how you're staying safe. And like, no matter what, even if I'm drunk and belligerent, whatever, like, we're going together, you know, just stay safe, you guys. Watch each other's backs. 100%. I think kind of talking about that, do you want to talk about what our giveaway is going to be, or do you want me to?
Yeah, we both kind of can. I mean, so like we had talked about, and this is perfect. We actually are going to be giving away, a birdie for one of our lucky, listeners. So we'll kind of tell you how we're going to go about that. But in regards to the birdie, quick summary of that for people who aren't aware of what it is, you know, it's a little handheld, device that you can carry with you anywhere you go. It's like on a keychain, you pull the pin on, it's loud. It's set, I mean, has this loud siren and the light's insane. There's a couple different options. And then there's another one where you can actually have a subscription and it has like GPS and all that stuff. And you can have, there's people with the company that are always there, you know, 24/7 for you. If you need someone, a safe place, and they can call you and get you out.
They can call first responders for you. That's the Birdie Plus. What we're giving away is just the Birdie. So it's just the flashing light and the alarm. The Birdie Plus does have the alarm as well. It doesn't have the flashing light, but that does come with the sharing your location, an excuse phone call. So if you press it a certain amount of times, you'll get an automated call giving you an excuse to get out of a situation. Or talking to live reps. If you just feel a little uncomfortable, even they'll stay on the phone with you until you feel comfortable. If you need first responders, they'll send them to your location. So yeah, it's a great company that we feel really good about. Just
and
trying to,
I mean, you know, I just have the basic one and even just, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I mean, I think just keeping it in, I just keep it in my bag at all times. And like, you know, even if my daughter's out playing, she takes it outside with her. And like I said, it's the basic one. I'd like to get the other one eventually, but like, it's just that peace of mind. And I think the basic one's like $30. So that's what we're giving away. So that is like a $30 value. And so we, are super passionate about that kind of thing. So we are actually, we'll post something about this as well, but we kind of wanted to give you guys the heads up on here first of how that's going to work. So do you want to explain it, Cassie, or do you want me to, or what? Yeah, go ahead.
I can do that. So this is going to be a giveaway for both Facebook and Instagram. we're going to make a post. It'll probably be Thursday or Friday, so a day or two after this episode airs. And if you are following our page, let's start with Instagram. You're going to get, say you're on Instagram. If you follow our page, you share our post and you tag a friend in it, you're going to get entered into the giveaway for the birdie. Now, if you go to Facebook and you do the same thing and you're following us on Facebook, you share the Facebook ad and you tag a friend on Facebook, you get a second entry. On top of that, if you are a Patreon member, you're going to get a third entry. So you can be entered up to 3 times for this. It's, you know, again, we're going to post this in when we finally announce the giveaway, but it's going to run through October. So you'll have time to do this, to share this. We'll probably share it a couple times, you know, throughout the month to help, but we'll be keeping track of who's liked, who shared, who's tagged a friend and stuff. And if your friend then decides to do the same things, they get entered, you know? So That's what we've got going on. We wanted to give one of our listeners the birdie. Like I said, we feel great about this company. We feel great about this product. So we wanted to be able to give it to one of our listeners.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing to have. And once you have one, I think you'll see how great it is and how easy. I mean, you can travel with this on planes because it's not considered, I mean, you know, like pepper spray or something like that. So it's,
yeah,
it's great and it's small. And yeah, so we're super excited about that. And we're going to do that. We'll probably, yeah, go through October on that. And then we'll pick a winner early November. So yeah, I mean, with that, then we can kind of tell you a little bit about our Patreon too, because we had mentioned that in the beginning. I still am getting people asking me, like, I don't get it. What is it? So for, I don't know, in layman's terms, I just think of it as like a membership kind of to our podcast, essentially, because when, you know, with memberships, you generally pay a monthly fee. We have a couple different tiers. So with each amount that you pay, you'll get different things. This money goes towards the podcast. We will use it, you know, to get better equipment, possibly different giveaways, things like that.
Like to go towards like stickers, merch, yep, things like that, that we can make to do for giveaways and stuff.
Yeah. So it's not like we're just pocketing this, because it's going to be a long time before we get to that point, because we do have, I mean, I think there's always better software we can get and use. And so, by doing that, you're really supporting us in the podcast. And like we said, you get the different things. So we have a post out too. If you want to look for that, it does talk about what's included in each membership, I guess you could say. Yeah. So,
still feel free to reach out to us. Like, yeah, I said, the link will be in the show notes that you can click on it. It's super easy. I've done Patreon. If you think about it, so Patreon is the term for like a patron. So Remember back in the day, like artists would have patrons who would like give them, yep, money and supply them stuff, mm-hmm, so they could create their art. Like, that's what you guys are doing for us when you do this. You're just helping us to continue to put back into this show, because right now it's just us with whatever extra cash we have trying to do what we can. So that's where this comes in, and it really helps us out. And we'll, you know, you guys get little added bonuses for, yeah, doing that as well.
So yeah, we're excited. So be one of our patrons, and you know, it's fun. And then down the road when it's bigger, hopefully we can say, hey, our first, you know, we would love to be like our first 100 people or whatever, get something. And who knows, down the road, that could be an option. But once again, that's the reason we're doing this, so we can have the money to do things like that. So,
right.
Yeah. And message us, like she said, any questions at all. 'Cause I know it is kind of confusing. I was confused. I remember, Cassie, when you joined one for a different podcast and you told me, and I was like, wait, what? Now, what is that? Like, so I get it. I get it. We don't expect, yes, everyone to just know what it is and to click it and give us money. So feel free to ask us questions about it before you commit to something as well. So,
and it shows you on, like, if you click on the link, it shows you what each tier gets you, but just, we'll let you know briefly, a real quick little thing. You guys are going to get the episodes ad free and a day early. Like, we'll post them Tuesday night, without the ads. So, you know, that's one little benefit. If you don't like listening to the ads, or you're kind of impatient, you're like, I'd rather have it a day early or something. Like, you, those are little perks you get for helping us.
Yeah. It's kind of us, yeah, giving back in that way to you. And if you really want to, but you don't have the funds or the time, just keep listening to us. We don't expect everyone to do it, and we are just happy, yeah, that you listen to us. So, and it's fun. We love getting to do this, and we love that people love to listen to it too.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys so much. And like we said, this is for us to give back to you. You know, we want to just keep improving ourselves, improving our show and being able to do more things for you guys. So we appreciate all of your help. And like we said, if you don't want to join Patreon, you can't, you know, that's fine. But if you can just share our stuff, rate and review us wherever you're listening, like that helps us a ton too. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, we do. It's fun to hear like other people we just never even have talked to, and they know someone who knows someone. It's like, it's super cool. So just, we appreciate that too. And it's something that's so easy. So yeah, keep sharing stories with us, your personal stories or just cases that are, you know, of that we might need to cover at some point. So either or, because we would like to get enough to do listener story episodes. But we still want other stories too. So whether it's a personal,
we would love listener stories. heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. You can email us your personal stories. You can email us any case ideas, suggestions, anything along those lines. Or you can reach us at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the social medias. So until next time, stay Heartland kind,
but Darkland wary.